Straight Talk is brought to you in part by Southern California Edison. For over 100 years, life powered by Edison.
Join us for tonight's edition of Straight Talk. And now your host, Art Levine.
Good evening and welcome to Straight Talk. We're delighted you're joining us for this week's show. As we all know, elections are coming up on November 2nd. We've all received, if you're registered, your ballot summary. And, of course, there are dozens of ballot propositions on the ballot that you have to vote for besides the presidential candidates and candidates for state office. And on this special Straight Talk election show, we have experts on three of the ballot propositions, which we're going to discuss with you. And the first one we'll be talking about is Prop 1A. And here to join in the discussion is Ken Farsing, who is chair of the City Managers Committee of the Council of Governments, COG. He is also the city manager for our neighboring city in Signal Hill. Ken, welcome to Straight Talk.
Thanks, Art. Nice to be here.
Also joining us is John Seiler, who is the editorial writer for the Orange County Register. Welcome back, John, to Straight Talk.
Thank you for having me on again, Art. It's a real pleasure.
You bet. The first proposition we'll be discussing is Prop 1A, which would basically secure cities and counties and districts from state takeaways of their tax revenues. And as representing 27 city managers and yourself, Ken, what's your feeling on Prop 1A?
First, thanks, Art, for having this debate on 1A. We feel it's critical that Californians vote yes on 1A. I look to the voter pamphlet to really give guidance to what Prop A really does. If voters turn to that guide, they'll see the Attorney General has basically indicated that Prop A would protect local funding for public safety, health services, libraries, parks, and other locally delivered services. Also, Prop 1A would prohibit the state from reducing local government services in the future. For too long, Sacramento has looked at our local cities as a piggy bank or as an ATM machine where they run into fiscal problems and all of a sudden they start taking our local property taxes. And we count on those property taxes really to deliver local public services. They deliver the police services, the paramedic services, 911, all ranges of services, road repair. So it's very important for Californians to focus in on this measure. The system is broken. The state, since 1982, has taken almost $40 billion of local revenues, not only from the cities, but has been taken from the counties and also the special districts.
Fair enough. And, John, we've done many mayor's roundtable shows over 15 years, and every mayor to a person says we want predictable and reliable sources of funding. Now, why doesn't Prop 1A make sense to the Orange County Register?
Well, Ken makes a lot of really good points about the fiscal problems, but I think we need to look at it as a whole for the whole state and also with these other bonds. Just a year ago, we had a recall election because the state's finances were messed up, and there's still a lot of problems. And this deals with some of those problems, but not the overall problem, which is the imbalance between the state and the local finances, and especially the problem of the sales tax versus the property tax, which is abused in eminent domain many times, where the cities get a lot of money from sales taxes but not so much from property taxes. So they favor the sales tax, which means sometimes...
That's a result of Prop 13 and
that's true.
You see as a problem, and it strikes me as just unfair for cities to be planning their budget and coming up with what they think is a balanced budget, and then the last minute the state comes in and grabs some of their money? Isn't that outrageous?
Absolutely, that's true. And the problem we have with this, the main one, is that it would probably postpone reform for several years or maybe even decades, because we need to address this problem that I mentioned earlier. And also another one is that this keeps a lot of money with the cities, which is good to a certain extent, but that will take money from the state. And when the state has less money, guess what? They're going to come after us with more taxes. And also the cities have another problem. They spend a lot of money. We were talking earlier before the show about the pension spiking. For example, San Diego could go bankrupt fairly soon because they've given so much money to their city workers. And so the cities, the real problem is they're spending too much money.
John, Ken, you would agree with John's point that we do need basic structural reform.
Yeah, there's been some fiscal reform that's come forward. We think actually Prop 1A is fiscal reform. Our analogy to what's happening is think of the cities as a patient. They've come into the hospital. The state has essentially amputated their legs. We're laying on the table. We're bleeding to death. And then the Orange County Register and others that say, you know, we need reform are saying, let's have open heart surgery now. So our feeling is we need to stem the fiscal bleeding from the cities. We're willing to talk fiscal reform, but not in the climate where we're basically losing $3 billion a year. Now, John's made the point that, hey, you know, city finances, certainly there's some question about how cities' finances occur. Now, in my case, in Signal Hill's case, in many of the cities, is that when I started 10 years ago, we had 135 employees. I have 102 employees now. We just terminated three employees last year. The state spending has gone up 22%. Based on looking at personal income since 1982, city spending has gone down 9% during that same period of time. So I think to saddle the cities with the problems in Sacramento is a terrible thing to do, and voters will be able to make a decision to basically say my local taxes need to be spent locally, not in Sacramento.
John, what about Ken's point that the patient is bleeding and we need to do something right away?
Well, I think the patient is bleeding, but only not enough to do that. Mm-hmm. What we need is to look at the more serious problem. Maybe it's the patient's having a heart attack. We need to have open heart surgery.
Well, we have a doctor coming up.
Yeah, we have a doctor coming. Maybe he can help us. But the real problem, I think, is we need to look at this overall. And we need to say right now, this has some good ideas, but no, we want even more comprehensive reform. Otherwise, this will be like putting a Band-Aid on a hemorrhage, and it just won't solve the problem for the long term.
Fair enough. Very quickly, on another issue, Prop 62, the open primary,
right,
which I personally support, which would allow people to vote in the primary of either party, even if you were a registered Democrat, you could vote in the Republican primary and so forth. And that addresses the problem of gerrymandering, right, which is a huge problem that makes almost every district safe. But I know the paper opposes the open primary. Why?
Well, you're right about the gerrymandering. The way to solve that, one solution might be to have a court panel come up with a solution, a computer model that doesn't have these things that they agreed to.
Which I would support,
right,
too.
Right. The problem with this is each party should be able to choose its own candidates. It's freedom of assembly. They have Republicans, Democrats, and so on. And another problem is that it would almost make impossible third parties to win because you have the top two,
sure,
Republican, Democrat, and nobody else would be on the ballot. Whereas a couple of years ago, we had Audie Bach up in Oakland. A Green Party person won.
Yeah. Well, I think minority parties should have a voice, but the problem of gerrymandering is huge.
Yeah.
And again, this would address some of the problem, but not the basic problem. So you're the purist. Unless you're going to solve the whole thing, you don't want it. And that was the same. So thank you very much, Ken Farsing, for joining us. John is going to stay with us in our next segments. Stay with us. We'll be back with more of our show after these messages.
KKJZ-FM. Think jazz. Think KKJZ. 88.1 and 89.1 FM. Visit our website at www.kkjz.org.
I propose three cheers for those we leave behind.
Congratulations. Good job. Congratulations. I'm proud of you. All right. Ensign Elliott. Who's going to salute him? Guys, who gets to salute him first?
Hey, kid, what's shaking? Besides me.
Dad, there's something wrong with the fridge.
What?
Ooh, a snack.
Got energy hogs in your house? Now you have the power to do something about them. Log on to energyhog.org. Because nobody likes an energy hog.
Hey, they got Charlie!
Yeah, who cares?
There is really
only one boy. One girl. One tree. One forest. One ocean. One mountain. One sky. And one simple way to care for it all. Please visit earthshare.org and learn how the world's leading environmental groups are working together under one name. Earthshare. One environment. One simple way to care for it.
There's something you should know about me. I'm cold. I'm calculating. I get what I want. If you get in my way, I'll wreak havoc upon you. I can leave you weak, limp, twisted, confused. If you want to live to see tomorrow, you answer to me, and you answer quickly. I am a stroke.
Learn to recognize a stroke and act quickly. Time lost is brain lost.
Welcome back. Continuing our discussion of ballot measures, joined now by Dr. Mel Marks, who's the Chief Administrative Officer of Miller Children's Hospital. Dr. Marks, welcome to Straight Talk.
Thank you.
We're here to discuss Prop 61, which is the Children's Hospitals Bond Act. Mel, not surprisingly, you favor it.
Not surprisingly. We have to take care of our children, and we have a crisis in children's hospitals across the state of California now. They're full. They're not big enough. They're not modern enough. The equipment is not modern enough. And there isn't enough money to build new facilities because hospitals are very difficult to run now in a financial sense. So we're appealing to the electorate to take care of their children with their votes, help us build our new facilities, buy new equipment, modernize, and not turn away any kids. Take care of all of the kids.
And Miller Children's Hospital has a marvelous reputation, just incredible. And what would this mean dollar-wise to Miller?
It would mean $74 million to help us build our new facilities, both inpatient and outpatient facilities. We don't turn away any children, regardless of their ability to pay, but about 63% of our children are actually not capable of paying the full payment on any of their health care. And we need to provide more room for those children as the population grows. We're bursting at the seams.
Fair enough. John, the Orange County Register opposes Prop 61. Why?
The current bond payments of the general fund in California right now are about 5% of the general fund, and that's considered prudent. Anything above that, which would be added to by this measure and also the one we're going to talk about later, would make the state less stable fiscally. And recently, the three bond houses increased our bond rating because we're finally getting our financial house in order because we've had no tax increases since Arnold became governor, and we're getting the spending under control. And we talk about children. This would cost $50 million a year for 30 years, so the children would be paying for this. I don't think we should increase the burden on children for that reason, because we need the first thing for any state to do is to get its fiscal house in order, to pay the bills, to keep things reasonable.
John, you mentioned that 5% now of the state budget
right.
goes to bond payment. Anything above that would not be prudent. But just for the record, the Orange County Register did not support any of the other bonds that got us up to the 5%.
That's true. We've been against all of those, but we're really against it when it goes above 5% because the bond advisors say that's just not good. And the bond houses in New York, Moody's and Fitch's and Standard & Poor's really downgraded. We were the worst in the country. Actually, we're still the worst. And now we're just a little bit better.
But you probably would be opposed to it even if it was under 5%.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, fair enough. Your response, Mel?
Well, it's a very interesting situation. As I mentioned, the majority of children in our children's hospital at Miller Children's and in the other seven children's hospitals across the state and the pediatric units at the university hospitals are actually on government payment programs. And if these children do not have access to care because there aren't adequate facilities and they get that care later or they have to go farther away to get it or they don't get it at all, it increases the complexity and the cost of taking care of them.
Pay me now
or pay
me later.
The government pays for that care anyway. So the escalation of costs by not having the physical facilities to take care of the children is much greater than the cost of borrowing this money at this time. And we have no other place to get the money. These are community-owned, we own it, not-for-profit institutions. And the community is helping us with philanthropy. But there's not nowhere else for us to get this this money. And it amounts to about $1.50 a year per Californian to pay off this debt.
Prior to being administrator, you were a practicing pediatrician at Miller Hospital.
That's correct.
You treated the children directly.
That's correct. And I understand the difference between treating meningitis on the first symptom and sign, or waiting a day because there isn't room for patients.
John, what about Mel's point, pay me now or pay me later? The state's going to pay one way or the other. It would seem to make more sense to pay up front and prevent and then wait till it got more serious.
Well, every bond I've heard about says that that's the case, that today we need this service and it'll save us money in the future. But the fact is that you can only go so high with these bonds, otherwise they'll raise the interest rates again and it'll cost us more in the long run. And if this is so critical, they can go to the legislature and ask for this, and the legislature can put it in the mix of everything else. There are a lot of things they can cut in the legislature to pay for this if it's really that much important.
Your paper simply does not believe in bond financing for functions of government.
Absolutely. And in some cases, you can make a better case where there's structures that last a long time. But on specific spending like this, it's not good.
Mel, final word.
Well, in point of fact, we did go to the legislature. Senator Joe Dunn actually sponsored a bill which didn't make it through the legislature and got tabled. And this is the next step in trying to get the money that we need to build these new facilities and take care of our children.
You know, John, in these tight budgetary times with a $15 billion deficit, it's unlikely that, they did not support funding.
Well, he mentions Joe Dunn. He was one of the biggest supporters of the spending run-up under Gray Davis, where they just went wild and spent wild, and now we're suffering for it.
Yes.
Somebody has to pay for it, and you know, whoever it is, you can't raise taxes anymore in California, and the spending is at a limit. And if this will just push something else out, if it does pass, it'll push out some other spending in the state. So why not do it the regular way through the legislature? And I know it didn't work, but try again.
Okay, you've heard both of the arguments on both sides. Prop 61, a very, very important issue. We do have Miller Children's Hospital here in Long Beach that would benefit to the extent of $74 million. You heard John Seiler's arguments against the use of bond financing to support needed facilities, and you have to make your judgment. In the next segment, we'll be discussing Prop 71, the Stem Cell Bond Issue Initiative. Be back with more of our show after these messages.
If you're wasting energy, you'll find one in your home.
Got energy hogs in your house? Now you have the power to do something about them. Log on to energyhog.org.
Hey, let me go.
In your dreams, Gordon.
Because nobody likes an energy hog.
So, which job are you applying for?
There's more than one.
A couple more.
Wow.
High school graduate, right?
Oh, no, I dropped out.
Oh, well, that kind of narrows it down. But you may be in luck. We have one opening, and it's in advertising.
All right.
Go to OperationGraduation.com.
On June 4th, my big brother was sentenced to 5 years in prison for a gun crime. That day, he sentenced me to 5 years of walking home alone from school.
When you commit a gun crime, your family pays the price.
Welcome back. Now focusing on Prop 71, the Stem Cell Bond Initiative, joined now by Shane Smith, Ph.D., Science Director for Stem Cell Research and Cure. Welcome to our show.
Thank you, Art. It's great to be here.
You received your Ph.D. in Cellular and Molecular Pathology in 2003 from UCLA, so this is a field that you're quite familiar with. What would stem cell research potentially do as far as curing illnesses?
Sure. Well, the salient points here scientifically are that stem cells are these unspecialized cells. They're like vanilla. They have the information within them to become any of the cells in our bodies. So scientists could potentially use them to become new healthy tissues to replace those tissues that have been damaged by disease. And this therapeutic paradigm could extend to diseases like diabetes, heart disease, Parkinson's, cancer, some of our biggest killers and biggest healthcare drains in the state of California.
So there's a tremendous scientific opportunity here.
Tremendous scientific promise. As one of the people who has the opportunity to speak with the Nobel laureates, the scientists around the state who support Prop 71 in stem cell research, I understand that the medical community is united in believing that this is the new frontier in medicine, that the great potential of these cells to cure and treat disease is something that we can't walk away from.
John, isn't this an exciting opportunity to advance the frontiers of medicine?
Unfortunately, no, it isn't. There are several reasons why we're against it. The first is the fiscal problem, which we talked about earlier. This one would cost $200 million per year to the state budget. And let's remember that the fiscal problem still is from $5 billion to $8 billion a year, depending on how you look at it. That's the structural deficit in California. It's down from $13 billion when Gray Davis was there, but Arnold still has not solved this problem. And this means where is this $200 million to pay for this every year going to come from? It has to come from something else in the budget.
Okay, so again, it's a financial argument, concern. Do you care to address that, Shane?
Well, due respect to John and the editorial board of the OC Register, I think they're really on the wrong side of this issue. I think this is a win-win for California. This is an investment in our future. And look at the folks who are supporting this on fiscal grounds. State Controller Steve Wesley, Treasurer Phil Angelides. These are the state's top fiscal officers. The State Chamber of Commerce has supported us. The Orange County Business Council. These are folks who took a look at this initiative, looked at Prop 71, saw the medical promise of the research, saw the great potential for new treatments and cures that could energize a growth sector of our state's economy and really pay dividends down the road for California.
John, it would seem if there's the potential to cure, and health care costs are an enormous burden on the state and on communities, if there's the potential to have cures for things like diabetes and Parkinson's and cancer, just from aside from the moral and ethical arguments, financially, wouldn't this be releasing a big drain on the state if we could cure some of these things?
Well, these are all things that are promised in the future, and we can get. And I want to get to some of the moral problems later, just from our perspective. But also, I mean, what's next? Will they say Silicon Valley needs money for their research? Orange County has a lot of biotech. Well, they'll probably get some of this money. But we can't keep doing this all the time. States do fund research around the country, and California does. It should be part of the same mix of the general budget of the state of California.
Again, not using bond finding. Now, right. You mentioned you have some moral problems with this. Would you articulate that?
Well, the Register's position, there's the Register's position and my position. The Register's is that some people are very much opposed to this for ethical reasons, and they should not be forced to pay for it through their tax money. And my position personally is that
Well, some people are opposed to capital punishment,
right,
and we pay for execution chambers.
Well, that's a different issue. It's a
yeah,
legal issue.
Yeah, but some people are always going to be morally opposed to some things that government do with public funds.
Right, but this is such a new area, and there's so much controversy. This will be very much politicized. You'll have it'll be a political football for many years.
Okay. Shane?
Well, just addressing John's point, I certainly respect his point of view. Everyone in the campaign does, and I'm not going to speculate on where he's coming from there. But I can tell you how I'm comfortable with the research. You know, Prop 71 embraces the full spectrum of stem cell biology. We hear about adult stem cells that you can take from any one of us at this table, embryonic stem cells that scientists tell us are the most promising. Those are derived from special cell clusters that are left over from fertility treatment. And they would, most of them are damaged. Most of them would be thrown away if not donated for research.
There's a concern that we would breed fetuses for the purposes of harvesting stem cells.
That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. There are strong ethical controls in this initiative. Human reproductive cloning, that is cloning to create a baby, is already illegal in California. This initiative reinforces that ban. There are strict ethical requirements for things like informed consent, human subjects protections, and others. So those are not concerns.
John, did you have other moral issues involved?
Personally, this isn't the registrar's opinion, but personally, I do find it objectionable because the stem cells from children come from unborn children who are as human as you or I, and they have not given their consent, obviously, and they should not be abused in this way.
Shane?
Well, I certainly respect John's point of view. I don't think that that's my point of view. And I think that if you look at what the California voters are comfortable with, 80% of them or more support stem cell research as we proposed in Prop 71.
Final words, John, on the Register's position on stem cell research.
Well, just for the three reasons we mentioned, the moral controversy, which has not been settled in our society, the fiscal problems, and also we just can't afford it anymore. The state is still broke. Let's not forget that. $5 to $8 billion a year deficit that we're going to have this year. I don't know how Arnold is going to deal with it next year, but we just can't spend another $200 million a year for this.
Shane, final argument in favor of Prop 71.
Well, look at the folks who support this initiative. We've got 23 Nobel laureate scientists, the California Medical Association, over 60 patient disease advocacy groups. These folks have taken a look at this initiative. They've taken a look at this science. They see tremendous promise in it. And I think Prop 71 is their solution to responsibly explore stem cell biology.
Thank you very much, Shane Smith, with the Pro Prop 71. John Seiler, thank you for being here for the entire show. Thanks to our other guests, Ken Farsing and Dr. Mel Marks. The important thing is for you at home to vote. Make your voice heard. And these and other propositions are critically important. Do vote on November 2nd. We'll see you all next week for the next edition of Straight Talk. Good night, everyone.